This is Hillside Church's Sermon of the Week. Thank you so much for listening. To find out more about our church, our ministries, and our outreaches, please visit hillsidechurch.us.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. My wife and I are excited to be back. We were out of town last weekend on Labor Day. I hope everybody had a great Labor Day weekend, and we just love this change in the weather. I don't know if I'm quite like Kevin to officially say it's fall, y'all, but you know, we are a church that walks by faith and not by sight, so I guess we're okay to say that. But as Kevin mentioned just a moment ago, can I just say it's so good to see you here. We are so honored that you're joining. And for those of you who are with us for the first time, feel welcome. We are so excited that you're here with us. And we have been in a series called Uncommon. And it is a relationship series. And basically, the basic premise is, here's the premise, it's that, look, healthy relationships are possible, they're just not probable. Like, there are certain habits that we've all picked up along the line of life, and, you know, some of them are really good habits, you know, like waking up in the morning, it's a good habit, all right? And going to bed at night, it's another simple habit. There are things that we just kind of do. We also have other healthy habits, you know, every once in a while, a vegetable kind of makes sense, you know. There are things we've picked up along the way. But can I tell you something? When it comes to relationships, most of us don't just naturally default to healthy. It's not like we wake up and we're just thinking, man, I'm going to have healthy relationships in every area. Because if you have breath, you know as well as I do that life just happens. Circumstances, people process things, and sometimes they love to call us to process things with them, and then we are on a bandwagon of pain, potential bitterness or frustration. But here's what's amazing. God has given us the tools, not only through His Word, but come on, through the Holy Spirit, that we can actually learn to live life healthy in every area, every facet of our lives. We believe, not that it's going to be pain-free, not that it's going to be circumstance-free or issue-free, but in the long run, we can live healthy, and we can learn to choose to live healthily and abundantly and with victory within our relationships. And so, look, I don't have to take a poll to know almost all of us at some point in the line of life, you know, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's at home on occasion, whether it's in, you know, the Thanksgiving dinner, and we all know what it's like to walk into the room and look across and see that so-and-so's there, and we make quick to get out of the room because it's awkward or it's painful or it's hard. And can I tell you, God has a better way. And so the last several weeks, we've been looking at, okay, how do we handle different areas of our relationships? And today, we're wrapping up this series called Uncommon. And we're going to look at what it means to have uncommon influence, to have uncommon influence within our relationships. We've taken as our foundational scripture all through this series, Romans chapter 12, and it's in verse 2. And Paul is writing, and he says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Here's the premise. Let God transform you. I know what it's like to sit across from the table and, you know, to see a marriage on the rocks and not, to be quite honest with you, not feel fully equipped on how to navigate the waters for them. But as a pastor, what I always encourage people to do is invite God into the midst. Invite God into the problem. The first thing I like to do is remind them, look, the person you're looking at, the person with the issue, they're not a problem. They're a person. Amen. Right? It's not, we're not looking at a problem like, how can I fix you? You know, I know it may feel like that sometimes, but the reality is they're a person. God has a plan. God has a purpose. But here's what I love to do, and I'll take a moment, sometimes even before we even get into any of the tools or things we can talk about in a relationship, I like to say, man, let's just pray. Let's just ask God to do what only He can do. And it's amazing to see what will happen in any relationship. I'm not purely just talking about the marriage relationship. I mean, any area, our parenting, or for us, you know, that have parents, it's back and forth with our kids as well. Every relationship, just somewhere along the line, it will come under some pressure. But we, if we allow ourselves to be transformed by God, can bring life, bring hope, and bring peace, even in the midst of some difficult circumstances, difficult relationships. But here's how it happens. We have to let God transform us. Come on, just nudge your neighbor and just tell him, let God transform you. No, yeah, some of you aren't sure about that. But no, it is. It really is. We need to be a people that yield ourselves to God. Really. There have been times, and my wife will share the same thing, in our marriage where God whispered something to us, just an area, a part of us, just to tweak, just to shift, just to bring some attention to. Why? Because God, if we allow Him to transform us, it will reap fruit and it will reap life. And so Romans chapter 12, 2, again, it's just this concept, it's this truth, this reality, to let God transform us. Like, if we can sum up the Christian walk on one level, it's surrendering our lives to God, and then just day after day, we let Him transform us, right? If we were following Christ, we should be looking more and more like Christ, not the devil, right? All right? And that's true in our relationships, right? Like, it should leave us with some fruit. And today, I'm going to jump right in, just in this moment, into the big idea, kind of really what we're going to look at today. And here's the reality. In any relationship, there's always God's way, there's culture's way. There's culture's way of doing it, which we can glean from Hollywood. We can glean from talk shows such as Dr. Phil and such. Not that he does have pretty good advice a lot of the time. But we can either just try to make it happen. Let's look at culture. Let's just follow their pattern. Let's look at the top 40 hits, and that's how to love. That's how to care. And it's very in the moment. It's very feeling-based. You know, that sense of we just fell into love. We didn't know how it happened. We just kind of fell. And now we're falling out of love, or we can decide to follow God's way, follow God's patterns. The culture's way of approaching relationships is, how do you benefit me? How do you benefit me? That is how the culture approaches parenting. It's how it approaches marriage. It's how it approaches any facet of life. It's, okay, how is this going to benefit me? Maybe you may be in the room, and that's your only lens for every single relationship you're in. Well, how's this going to benefit me in the long run? Well, I would say this is Christ's way. This is God's way. This is Scripture's way of approaching relationships. How do I benefit you? How do I benefit you? Let's be honest. Can we just have a transparent moment? I'm glad right now, there's not a percentile of how much of my life I've lived, how do you benefit me, right? Let's be honest, that could be a little scary if I was to look at, okay, well, how's this going to benefit me? How's this going to work out for me? Well, if you could just solve that area of your life, it would really benefit. I feel like it would benefit our friendship. It'd benefit our marriage. It'd benefit, you know, you could be a better son or a better daughter if you just tweak this. But here is the way Christ, here's the way how God, here's the way the Lord would have us navigate relationships, is not how do you benefit me, but how do I benefit you? In fact, it turned the world upside down. When the early church got going, there were no such things as mega churches. There were no broadcasts of a pastor, you know, going out through the millions so they could hear the gospel. It was all pretty small. And it took off rapidly. How did it take off rapidly? They lived life through this lens. How do I benefit you? How does the light of Christ in me make its way Paul would write in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, painful to read, but it holds the truth, I believe, for a different way, for God's way, to have influence in society around us. And here it is. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Come on, some of you have teenagers. You need to take a snapshot of that verse real quick and text it to them. This is one of those verses. I'm like, man, I hope everybody else in my life reads. Right? Like, man, I just hope you get it. You know what I mean? Like, man, girls, like, call my little girls up. Here's what I want. This is how you approach daddy, okay? You know, be humble, right? Tread carefully. No questions. No questions. No questions. We have a six-year-old. I navigate 100 questions by 7 a.m., you know? But here's the reality. Here's Paul. Paul's saying, look, in life, our nature gravitates towards me, myself, and I. And here's what culture and the world does not understand. Like, you can live life for me, myself, and I, or you can live life with a holy, divine purpose where you wake up with breath in your lungs, excited to be alive. And here's how. Consider others better than yourselves. And don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Because listen, everybody, culture is looking for people, if we're not careful, we're looking to be famous. God comes along and he's looking for a people that will be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Man, keys of the kingdom. Who they coming to? The famous? No, the faithful. Who in humility serve, in humility love. Like, I'm thinking about, man, we should get a billboard. Visit Hillside Church. And then smack dab, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Come join us as we walk humbly and serve. But it's truly the keys to the kingdom. You know what's frustrating about life? It's not frustrating. It's great. The Holy Spirit will lead us into the abundant life. Promise you, it doesn't mean abundance in every mindset we have, but it will lead us to victory. It will lead us to hope. It will lead us to happy. I believe it, even in the midst of our circumstances. But the breakthrough so often is in these moments, in these verses where we can leave ourselves and focus on what God has called for us to do. Can I tell you some of the deepest, darkest moments of my life? I was only thinking about myself. I was the main one. It was my expectations that were shattered. It was my dreams that seemed to go poof. It was me, me, me. In fact, I was talking to somebody one time and they're like, are you aware of how many times you said me? No. Me wasn't. No, I'm saying, no, you know, like what's your point? But let me say this. How do you benefit me culture looks like. It's just a reality. I listed these out. It's my needs first. Like year one of my marriage, it was my needs first. Do you remember what you said in the vows? I did, but it's me. It's about me. I married Kelly so she can meet every need. It's all about me, right? My needs first. It's my issue is the priority. My problem is bigger. Like, I know you got stuff going on, but let me just show you what's going on with me, and let's talk about my problems. My life is harder. And listen, don't let me belittle your circumstances, but here's what I want to tell you. You may be in the midst of a problem and you think, man, my breakthrough is going to come by focusing on the problem, focusing on the issue. No, 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 no. You lift your eyes to God, and He is the one who brings the help. He's the one who brings the deliverance. And it's the same in our marriages so often, or in our parenting, or in our friendships. We're like, man, I can't believe what you did. I cannot believe you would do that. What were you thinking? Man, don't you know you are here to benefit me? Jesus comes along. Can I be honest? Like, I don't know what He was thinking. Like, He had 12 disciples. Y'all, if you're going to build a kingdom, get more than 12 people, right? And He had 12 people. He knew one was going to forsake Him. Not only was one forsaking Him, his best man. He had to say, get behind me, Satan. I mean, like, I'm like reading the Gospels, and I'm like, man, this is incredible. But it looks like things are about to fall apart. But here's what I know. Something happened after the resurrection where it clicked with the disciples. And some of the words that Jesus had spoken began to sink deeply into their hearts, to the point where someone named Paul would come along, have a radical experience with Jesus. And Paul would write, and he would, I mean, just in, you talk about influence, he would share about the power of God's Holy Spirit. He'd share about the gifts of the Spirit and all of these things. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, after just listing out the gifts of the Holy Spirit and amazing things, here he starts and he begins to speak. And he said, man, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And here's how love operates. Love says, how do I benefit you? You having a bad day? Boom, compliment. It's like you tired? Boom, I'm gonna take a nap with you. We're gonna sleep in the workplace. No, I'm playing. But I mean this, it's like, you need a shoulder to cry on? Here's one. Like, here. Cry on me. Like, you, man, that happened to you? I am so sorry that happened. Let me help. Let me stand in the gap. Let me make a ministry in the moment. Let me be what you need. But I'm there with you. It can be difficult to see life like this. Like, let's just be real. Can we just be real? Read this through the lens of American lifestyle. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. What? Or vain conceit. What? But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Here's what a how do I benefit you culture looks like. It says, your needs first. Your needs first. Your issue is the priority. Your problem, it needs the most help. Like, your life is important. Like, I'm gonna value you. So Jesus, all along the lens of life, man, every disciple, he didn't see the problem, he saw the potential. So, man, Matthew, you're a tax collector. You're hated by, like, everybody. Come follow me. So Matthew follows him, changes the world, turns it upside down. Peter, come follow me. I mean, let's be honest. If you're anything like me, like, you looking at these things all throughout Scripture, you're like, what was Jesus getting at? And it just registers with me in the area of relationships. It's so strange to me how we can dichotomize. Like, I'm going to have my Jesus life, but then in my relationships, I'm going to live for me, myself, and I. But one of the things the Holy Spirit does, right, is He brings all of life together. And He says, in every area, every moment, here's what I want. How do I benefit you? How can I come alongside? How can I come alongside and help? How can I just speak faith into your day? Man, that's going on. Can I tell you something? There's a God, and you know Him, and He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So I can't explain what's going on, but we can pray. we could touch heaven. We can agree. Like, God is asking for us in all of our relationships. So often, if you're anything like me, you want influence at times in people's lives. But can I tell you, you ever tried this? Just because you can scream louder don't mean you write. Or writer, right? If you want influence, how do you do it? You lead with love. You lead with love. The keys to unlocking people's lives, to be a blessing, to be full of hope. Let's just be real. You know the phrase, right? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's the truth in our relationships that we want to be a people. I just sense this. Like, the reason we wanted to end on this moment this Sunday is because it's the phrase, communicate love. Communicate love. How can we be people who consider others ahead of ourselves? So how do I benefit you, culture? I talked about that. Your needs first. Your issue is a priority. Like, what are you going through? Your problem needs the most help. Your life is important. I think about our dream team. It shows up here so faithfully, not just on Sundays, but incredibly on Sundays to get things prepared. They woke up with others on their mind. Just a beautiful display. And that's how God calls for us to be in all of our relationships. So I have this phrase, it won't come up, but here it is. It's influence is fostered in a culture where love is established. In a culture where love is established. So when we talk to people, when we can create an atmosphere of love, we have an opportunity to have greater influence in their lives. How do we create an atmosphere of love? Very simply, consider others better than yourselves. Consider others better than yourselves. In some ways, I've saved some of the best curriculum to the very end of the series. There is a life-transforming ministry, no doubt about it, called the Five Love Languages. Five Love Languages. And this, to me, is one of the best ways to learn how to communicate love. I remember 2 years in an awesome marriage that would only become even better, I came across this ministry called the Five Love Languages. I'd known it existed, but never read the book, never studied it. But here's its premise. All of us on our best days are wanting to communicate love, right? We're all wanting to communicate love. Say we get this idea, yeah, I want to consider others better than myself. Listen. Here's the premise of the five love languages, is we have to speak and lead with love in a language they can understand, in a love which they can understand. And so Dr. Gary Chapman is the gentleman's name. You can take a free online course, free plug there. Thank you, Gary Chapman, if you're listening to this. But here it is. Can I tell you, if you care about any relationship in your life, boy, they have made a tremendous ministry out of it. I think they have, like, the five love languages for your cat now. Like, I mean, they got it all, like, covered. Like, you can find a book somewhere in there. Probably not for cats. Nobody loves cats. It's dogs. But, you know, no. Just playing. I love cats. I'm not going to say it. All right. Five love languages, and here they are. How can we communicate love? Learn the love languages of your spouse, of your children, of the relationships in your life, and begin to deposit love. Truly, this is a very practical, it's going to get very practical. This is the practical way we can communicate love. Five love languages, very simple. It's the words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, physical touch. This may not sound very spiritual, but can I tell you, it has the potential to shift the climate of any relationship you are in. And you may like me, because you're just that guy. Isn't there a sixth language or a seventh? No, it's all in the five. Everything you need is in the five love languages. And I remember being a few years in, and there has been, outside of scripture, there's been no book where I physically felt the light bulb go off above my head. Like, I was reading, I was like, man, love languages, like, I don't know, 10 billion books sold. How's that possible? You know, something extraordinary. And I remember reading it, and I was just like, wow, this guy's on to something. This is incredible. Because here's what I was duped into thinking, all right? I'm going to love my wife the way I'm going to love my wife. And here's what I recognize. She can't always hear the way I communicate. I mean, there's never anything wrong, let me just preface, with the way I communicate. It's got to be the way she's hearing, right? Right? And she would say the same. She's never wrong. It's got to be the way I hear. But here's the five love languages, pieces it all together for you. I mean this sincerely. And the first one, words of affirmation. Think of this. This language uses words to affirm other people. It's so simple, y'all. This is so simple. Words of affirmation. This language uses words to affirm other people. Again, why does this matter? This matters because if you are married to somebody, that words of affirmation are a big deal. You need to be giving words of affirmation. Amen. Better preaching than y'all received it. But can I tell you this? I was clueless. I did not realize. Like, I thought, like, praying together at the end of the night, great, I love you, I love you. This, everything's awesome. I had no idea. We'll get to the biggest eye-opener for me in a moment. But I think about this, Proverbs 18:21. Listen, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you are living with somebody or you are in a workplace and you want to, you know, love, serve your boss, you find out, man, I'm going to bless her or bless his. I'm gonna begin to speak. It's a love language. Like, they need to know I care. How do they need to know I care? Well, I'm gonna study them. I'm going to figure them out. Why? Because they're a priority in my life. God's called me to consider them ahead of me. So I'm going to begin to understand what it looks like. So words of affirmation is pivotal. The second is acts of service. I tried to get it down to four, but they insisted this one remain. Acts of service. For these people, actions speak louder than words. The dishes, the laundry, the yard work, cleaning, breakfast in bed, doing something blatantly obvious to serve another. It's a love language people have. Strange, but it exists. It's a big one. Third is receiving gifts. For some people, what makes them feel most love is to receive a gift. How do I benefit you? Again, how do I benefit you? What's your love language? Some of you, you're married to people, they're expensive people. They love gifts. You had no idea what you're getting into. God put you in their life to love them, to care for them. Like, you had no idea. Receiving gifts, which I have a zero on mine, I will say. But no. Receiving gifts, think about this. For some people, what makes them feel most loved is to receive a gift. How do I benefit you? Like I learned early on, man, go with the gift card. Don't go with the clothes, like, because you don't know. Like, you do not know. I thought you loved T-shirts. Never see you wear them. I just thought you did. You know, no. But we lead. Why is this important? I mean this sincerely. Why is it important? Because, again, we want to communicate love in the way that they can know and they can understand. Receiving gifts. For some, I don't mean to belittle that. I know we had fun with it. It's an important one. It's an important piece of the puzzle. And think about this, all right? If I'm wired that every once in a while a gift goes miles, but you're like doing acts of service, or let me say this. If you're a husband and you're working 85 hours a week, but your wife's love language is the next one, quality time, it's missing the connection. So you're like, of course I love you. Of course I love you. Of course I just don't spend time with you, but of course I love you. Don't you see me working so hard? Don't you see me? Look, you got a roof over your head, don't you? Kids going to school, don't they? They got new clothes. Everything's provided for. What's the problem? The problem is the way you're communicating love, they are not understanding. And so instead of trying to make them like you, you have to, I mean this, through God, come on, we can be transformed to adjust the way we learn to love. And we begin to recognize, literally, this thought has saved, call Dr. Gary Chapman, he'll tell you, it has saved countless, not only marriages, but families overall. Because it happens when your teens get older. Guess what? Their love languages change. Children, adults, our love languages begin to shift. And we're stuck in 20 years ago. But it shifted, it's changed. And you think about this one I just mentioned, quality time. This language is all about giving the other person your undivided attention. This was the light bulb one for me. This was the biggest one for me. Because quality time was not on my radar. And I had to learn it. I had to learn it. And here's why did I briefly slow down on undivided? Because it's necessary. Undivided attention. Last night, Kelly and I went out for a date. I was really great at dinner. I had my phone on the other end of the table. Then we went to Bed Bath & Beyond. Lord, I do not know what's going on in there. And I just brought out my phone. It's college football, y'all. And I just began. It was like, what do you think of this? That's amazing, you know? And here's the kicker. It's undivided attention. Undivided attention. Why? I can't always explain the why. All I know is it's on me to take responsibility. I don't play the victim card. It's on me to take responsibility and know that God has brought relationships into my life. How can I love you? How can I serve you? It's not always easy. It's not always sometimes as simple as this. But these can be a game changer. I think of that. Quality time. That was so big for me. A couple years ago, I spent a lot of time sharing my first couple years. My first year in ministry. No kidding. My first year in ministry. We had a Saturday night service. Two Sunday morning services. I had middle school youth that I led on a Sunday night. On Monday, we went into the office. Monday nights were off. Tuesday, went into the office. Then I had band practice Tuesday night. Wednesday, I went into the office. Wednesday night was high school youth that I volunteer at. Thursday night, I went into the office. Thursday night was young adults, which I helped start. Friday, got to hang out. Saturday, got to hang out for a few hours, but then there were Saturday night services. I look at my schedule on paper. And if I could go back to younger me, it would be like, pow! Five love languages. Because I began to realize, look, as much as I was communicating verbally, Kelly, I love you. It was like the old adage goes, she experiences love. Her love is spelled T-I-M-E. It was quality time. It was quality time. Yeah, sounds sweet, like I'm always on it. I'm not always on it, but can I tell you? When you begin to implement this, you begin to see where the love tank's getting lower. You begin to understand where it's getting lower. For some of you, it ain't just birthdays. Y'all need to rise up, get some presents for some people. You know what I mean? Like, some people, that's their big thing, receiving gifts. And this last one, this fifth one, is physical touch. To this person, nothing speaks more deeply than the appropriate touch. And again, it's this understanding in all five of these. How do I benefit you? Like, what can I do? And I mean this, as we come to a close, and especially as we close this series out, can I tell you just straightforwardly, we can offer advice, we can offer good knowledge, but the best and only hope is to have Jesus as our foundation. And we don't say that easily, but I know what I'm able to do in my own strength. And you know what? It's not possible. But through Christ, I can do all things. And I believe God, every once in a while, he'll send a series across your path. Oh, that the church is spending 5 Sundays. Mitch did a phenomenal job last Sunday. We think about 5 Sundays to equip you to flourish in your relationships. But here's what I know. It doesn't just take knowledge and good intentions to change the world. It takes our knowledge and application, wisdom, And that'll bring the shift that we need. And it took me a while to begin to get some of these things. Some of you are, you're way more unselfish than I was. Or maybe than I am. And I had to learn. I mean, God really had to smack me upside the head some of the time. Maybe it's last child syndrome, somebody. Amen. I don't know. But what I recognize is I need God's help. My marriage, it needs God. My parenting, it needs God. My friendships, they need God. You know, if you think about over the last several weeks, how can you forgive when things happen? God, how do we do? We look and we remind ourselves, man, he saw me and could forgive. He saw where I was and he came running. That's how things become possible. Not through our own strength, like I'm just gonna pull up my bootstraps, I'm gonna be a better, you know, better man or a better wife or a better mom or a better, you know, spouse. No. We need the grace of God in our lives. Amen. And I just want to end our time in this series together. I want to declare a few things over you. And I'm just gonna speak it out over your family. I'm gonna speak it out over your marriage. I'm going to speak it out over your friendships, because as I said at the beginning, we are a church and a people that walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. Amen. And we trust a God who is invisible, and he is a miracle working God. And I just want to just speak some things over. I want to pray some things over for you. So if you will, bow your heads. Allow me just to speak life over you. Father God, I thank you for every person here. And I thank you, God, for every family that will call Hillside home, God, those that are even missing today. And I declare your life to come forth in every relationship that they have. Father, right now I do pause and I pray over every marriage represented here. And I speak life in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, that they will not flounder, but they will flourish, God, that they will not be weak, but they will be strong as they learn to walk in your ways and understand your truth. And God, I just ask that you, God, would do what only you can do, that you would move us out of contract thinking into a covenant lifestyle in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every burdened marriage. I pray, Holy Spirit, that your refreshing and your peace would uplift and uphold them. That you, God, those that are here that need a miracle, you would do just that in Jesus' name, God. And I pray for every parent here that's ready to pull their hair out. Lord, would you let your grace fall upon their lives like never before. God, I speak to that kids' hallway right now. I thank you that every child is learning how to walk in your ways, that they're learning how to know the truth of how much God loves them, how much God cares for them, that they're not an accident, God, but they are given to us on purpose, Lord, to send them forth as adults when the time's right to help change this world for your love. And I thank you, Lord, for parents that are, Lord, there, some of them just buckling under the stress, buckling under the strain of it. Lord, I release your peace upon them. I release your hope upon them. I release your joy upon them in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for every grandparent in the house today. You would bless them. You would strengthen them. Every grandma, grandpa here, God, that is praying a prayer for salvation to come to their kids and grandkids. I declare it so, Lord, that they would know Jesus. And every prayer has mattered and does matter. And we thank you, God, for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for every single person here, God, learning to navigate relationships, still navigating relationships. I thank you, Lord, that you would be their strength. You would be their hope. You would be the lifter of their heads in Jesus' name. God, we love you. And I declare over every person, God, that we would live our lives in an uncommon fashion. Our families will not be a statistic, God. Will not. We will live in victory, live with your peace, live with your hope. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. and amen. Can we praise him loud one last time together? Thank you, God, for who you are.
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, hillsidechurch.us. God bless.